Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. We're talking about global water issues today. And our guest right now is Fabien Cousteau, and you might recognize that last name, Cousteau, as in the grandson of Jacques Cousteau. And when we went to the break, we were talking about some of the things that we've been doing to our own planet, destroying our oceans. So we want to talk to you a little bit, Fabien, about plant a fish, because you're actually trying to do something to reverse the damage that we've been doing. Correct?
Well, you know, it serves no point to keep harping on the bad news and pointing fingers, because we're wasting valuable time doing those things. We just have to remember that water connects everything. It is quite literally the circulatory system and the one and only life support system that we have. So the way we treat our water, whether it's fresh water, salt water, or what have you, as a resource, is the way we treat ourselves, because at the end of the day, what we put into it ends up being absorbed by the food web that we are dependent on. So it, quite literally, if you throw that oil into the river, for example, it'll end up back on your plate or on the plate of your children. So the idea is really to try and go beyond the bad news and start cultivating good habits. We're getting rid of our everyday bad habits and start getting into the healing, if you will, of the ocean.
You know, I talk about a lot during Earth Day, because it's in people's minds at that point. And I always say, you know, there's hundreds of things you can do. And if you try to look at all of them, it's overwhelming. But if you pick one or two and just add that into your daily routine, it's really not so hard. And so if each year you pick one or two things that you change that's easier on the planet, sooner or later you're going to have changed a lot of your habits, and it's really going to make a difference.
Absolutely, and beyond that, beyond just the philosophical aspect of things and the pragmatic aspect of things, it actually really feels good, because when you start doing things that you know are doing good, good to the planet, good to the future of our generations, giving them back what we've taken for granted, it really does do quite a bit of a wonder and a payback in an emotional way, as well as a financial way. You know, Planet Fish is very much in that domain. I was reading about yet another tree planting program in the recent past, and, you know, one thing led to another. I said, okay, why does restoration stop at the waterline? Why are we planting trees, but we're not planting fish? No, this is one planet. This is not two different planets here. And, you know, when we face things like almost 60% of our world's total fish stocks having been wiped from the face of the earth because of our overconsumption, we really have to stand back and think about what we're doing and maybe try and change our course that we've set for ourselves. So Planet Fish is really about education, empowerment, and, of course, restoration, educating people about what's going on out there, but more importantly, giving them the tools to change and go and quite literally go out there and start restoring things, such as the oysters and the Hudson River.
What I think is fabulous about you, what you're doing, is that you're not somebody sitting in an office collecting money. Tell them what you've done in the Hudson River. Be specific.
The Hudson River is just one example, but Planet Fish is supporting a school called the New York Harbor School, and they have implemented a program within their public high school curriculum that includes the restoration of the Hudson River oysters. Oysters are phenomenal creatures, beyond, of course, being delicious.
Right.
They actually serve quite a purpose. They create oyster reef, which about 250 species depend on, including striped bass and other things that we love to eat. And beyond that, they're amazing filter feeders. One adult northeastern oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of water per day. They're amazing catalytic converters.
You said amazing catalytic converters?
I call them catalytic converters.
You did say that. I wasn't dreaming.
Your car scrubs out a lot of the nasty stuff that comes out of your engine, out of your exhaust. Well, the oysters do a similar thing. they're filter feeders, so they filter out the particulate matter in the water column.
So you physically participate with the children, and you dive down and plant the oysters.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is quite literally beyond the educational aspect. It's quite literally a restoration project where high schoolers that are trained in it as safety divers and up go into the Hudson River and dive down and start restoring the oyster beds with live oysters that they've cultivated over the year in their floating upwelling system and in their aquaponics labs. And they're doing gangbusters. They're doing fantastic work. And it's not just them. It's, of course, a communal effort of 10 or more different partners. But I like concentrating on the youth because it really builds a good habit, so to speak, and a good perspective on life for them in the future.
And what I really love about your charity is that www.plantafish.org, you can specifically decide with a contribution of $100. Talk about how, what you could specifically designate.
Sure, absolutely. Well, $100, for example, since you use that number, can be used in a number of different ways. Of course, if you don't want to make a choice, we'll put it where it can be most useful. Or if you want to choose, for example, the most endangered sea turtle population in the world, which is located in El Salvador, that $100 will go straight to the project and save a turtle neck, which is about 120 baby hatchling turtles. Or it could be used for coral restoration down in the Florida Keys.
So you can choose where your money's going.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? We actually have a caller who I think has a question or comment about his experience. So hold on. Let me just bring him on the line as well. And Fred, I understand that you have an experience of your own related to our topic today.
Well, I never gave him much thought. How are you doing, Ann and Mr. Cousteau? This is Fred. I'm part of the Rick O'Barry, Rick Trout group down there in Monroe County.
Excellent.
Excellent, I think so. I try to get down there as much as I can. Listen, I got food poisoning a couple of years ago, and it was associated with a tabbouleh that I ate. And I wouldn't give it much thought, but we didn't know where the microbe came from. We learned that there was vegetables that were farmed in a third world country that were imported to the United States via the train. And I had no idea that potable fresh water was in short supply in Mexico, where the tomatoes were grown.
So the tomatoes were not good because of the water.
Yes, mm-hmm. And there's, unbeknownst to me, there's a law, a federal law or state law, I'm not sure, that the stores have to let you know what country the vegetables are from, because there's people like me that are getting, there are other people that are getting sick from gray water vegetables. Gray water, mm-hmm. Ann, is filtered human waste water.
Right.
Cool. All right. And it's used in Mexico and Guatemala and other third world countries.
A lot of places.
I had no idea. And my concern also is that the population explosion in third world countries, they're using more and more water, more and more energy. And it's a concern of mine. Unless third world population growth is under control, our energy problems and our pollution problems are going to still going to accelerate. But perhaps that's a subject for another time.
No. Actually, that's known as the Water Energy Nexus, which our next speaker, Mark, who's friends with Fabian, is going to talk about. It's interesting. By the way, I want to also mention, Fabian, talk about, you have a little chart of fish that you distribute to people so they carry it in their wallet. Talk about that.
Of course. I'm very much looking forward to Mark answering that question, by the way, because that's a very important question. We've kind of painted ourselves in a corner with always looking for less expensive and such. So we're really importing the vast majority of our food these days. But back to the thing that I try and distribute as much as possible in terms of fish. It's a seafood watch card, and you can get it just about anywhere. All you have to do is Google it. You can get it from the Blue Ocean Institute. That's Carl Safina's institute over in Long Island. You can get it from the Monterey Bay Aquarium. And basically, it's just a list of the seafood or sea life, if you will, the better choices, the ones to avoid, and why. And part of that, of course, is the tissue unloading of toxins in some cases, or in other cases, it's just that those animals are depleted and they need to have a break.
And what was the name of that card again?
It's called Seafood Watch. And I
Seafood
believe
Watch.
It's seafoodwatch.org.
Okay. So that would probably, for somebody like Fred who is concerned about where things are coming from, that would have that kind of information on it regarding the seafood.
It's definitely a good start. It'll be a good guide to have either at the restaurant, for example, or at the supermarket. And you can even download it on your mobile device. It's all free, of course.
Right.
And, you know, what would be great is if you had a physical card in hand, and if you see a restaurant that has something on the menu that's a big no-no, if you give it to the maitre d' or the waiter or the owner.
Right.
So that they can be better informed.
You know, I noticed on your website that the four projects were the oyster, turtle, mangrove, and coral. Are those four at greater risk than other things, or were those just four that you started with?
Well, we kicked off Planted Fish for my grandfather's 100th birthday commemoration this year. And those four were, you know, the oysters, they were for different reasons. The oysters is because I wanted to give back to my own community. I've been living in New York for the last 15 years, and it's just something I was feeling I should be partaking in. And as far as the mangroves, there's a big need down in the Caribbean for mangroves, especially Florida and Haiti. The turtles, I have a good turtle biologist friend. That's how I got roped into the turtles.
Okay.
And the coral reefs are in great jeopardy all over the world. And the Florida Keys, I happen to
even more so
good friends with even more so exactly. We've lost about 40% of the corals that used to be in that area of the world.
I know I lived in Miami for 6 years, and the coral reef was always something that people were talking about because of the damage that was continuing to happen. I mean, not on purpose, but it was just happening.
Yeah, I mean, I only chose those four because you have to start somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm looking at abalone restoration. I'm looking at blackfish restoration. I'm looking at a lot of blue crab restoration in the Chesapeake. There's a myriad of possibilities, and you just need to start somewhere. And of course, it's all funding dependent, so we can only walk as fast as there is funding.
Right, and this may be a question that's more for Mark. But, you know, our caller Fred was saying, you know, that the population growth in third world countries and their use of energy and water concerned him, totally worth concern. But I would venture a guess that in the United States, we probably use more energy than some of those other countries, and maybe the same with water. I mean, do any of you know the answer
yes,
to that question?
Yes, yeah, we'll talk about it when Mark...
Is that a Mark question?
He knows all the numbers. I don't want to steal thunder.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you are talking about 5% of the world's population consuming 25% of the world's resources.
Exactly.
So that's just a start.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My guess is it was the same with water. So we're going to have to go to a break soon, but Fabian, any last... you know, parting thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners regarding water and what they can do individually? Obviously, they can participate in the plantafish.org. Other things that they should know or could do?
Of course, of course. Well, first of all, my grandfather always used to say, people protect what they love. And that's a good place to start. You know, these bad habits, all these daunting problems that we're facing really they stem mostly from our everyday bad habits. So we need to start there, whether it's talking to our proverbial tribe via social media and voice our concerns and opinions about what's going on the planet, or whether it's using a seafood watch card, or just not dumping all those pesticides and chemicals down our drain, because we're quite literally poisoning our future and ourselves.
Well, it's already in our drinking water in some places. You know, the prescription medication, they find traces in drinking water because so many people have tossed it.
Well, Fabian told me they have traces of it in the whales, right, my friend?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's gotten to the point now where, for example, orcas that are direct reflection in the ocean are getting serious rate cancer and behavioral learning disabilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All those due to chemical unloading in their tissues. And lo and behold, we've done some blood analysis, and we have the same levels of toxins in our own bloodstream. So we really, it will behoove us to start paying attention to what's happening out there.
So we've been medicating the orcas as well. Unfortunately.
Literally in some cases.
Okay. Fabian, it was great to have you on the air with us. I will definitely add the plantoffish.org link to our website when we are done later this evening or tomorrow. And we appreciate your time and
thanks, bro,
to be here.
I hope to see you so much. We can make a difference. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
I hope to see you in the fall.
Absolutely, Vincent. Soon.
Thank you, sir.
Bye to both of you.
All right, hang on the line for us. We're going to take a quick break here at the show. When we come back, we'll have Mark Modzelewski, who can answer some of those questions about water usage and our part versus third world countries. We'll be right back this week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio.